I'm going to pray for us and then we'll get started. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us to speak into people's lives. And I pray, Father, that you would give us wisdom and help during this time, that you would be glorified. So we just pray, Father, that you would just help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this session is Why Isn't My Counselee Changing? So I think we've discussed some of these things already. I talk a lot, and then I forget who I talk to, you know, so I'll just say, well, you know, I may have said this before. I'm trying to warn them that I don't have dementia. You know, I don't know who I'm trying to, I don't know who I'm trying to convince, them or me. So counselees come to see us generally because there's something wrong. They're going through some kind of trial, which could be a difficult marriage, a rebellious child, financial problems, health problems, relationship issues. Counselees seek comfort and they seek encouragement. And many times they come because they just want relief from what is making their lives difficult. Now, it's not wrong that they want to feel better or they want life to be a little bit easier. But if that's their goal, they're going to be disappointed and they won't be changing. So let's say that you have been meeting with a counselee for 6, 8, 10 weeks and you don't see her changing. You've tried to address what she put on her intake form, and she's been doing her homework some of the time, but she doesn't seem to be making progress. And each week, we don't hear how the counsel you've given has made much of a difference in her life. So what are some of the reasons that come to mind to you about this situation? They're not saved. That's right. That's in my notes too. Yeah, that's good. Right? I mean, there may be some things she hasn't told you. She's holding back. You, as a counselor, you may not be listening well enough and giving her what she needs. So sometimes the problem becomes their identity and they're slow or reluctant to take on the new identity. She says sometimes it's stubbornness and pride. Okay. Yeah, they may need to repent. Okay, good. Those are all good answers. Y'all could be standing up here and doing this. Okay, so in this session, I'd like to look at some reasons that our counseling isn't changing and if there's ways that we need to change and sharpen our counseling skills. I'd also like to be able to encourage and challenge our counselees if they're part of the problem. So when I start a new case, I say to a counselee, I'm going to talk some about me because I want them to know who I am and, you know, details and stuff. And then we're going to talk a lot about you. Okay, so first let's talk about me and you before we talk about the counselee. Okay, as counselors, we need to be prepared spiritually to minister to our counselees. We need to deal with whatever might be in our own hearts before we can talk to someone else. I can't give someone that something that I don't have. Okay, so here's some reasons, and you've mentioned some of these already. Have you listened well to them? It's rare that counselees come in and share everything all at one time. Sometimes they don't even know what's lurking in their hearts. And a person's heart is deep waters. That's what it says in Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. So we need to listen well and ask questions to draw out our counselee. We have to really get a good picture of how they're doing and what they're doing. And remember, I've said this before. David Pallison's X-ray questions is excellent. It's in his book, Seeing with New Eyes, or you can find that online. And then as counselors, we can be distracted. Maybe we're thinking about the last case. You know, if you're in a formal counseling setting and you have multiple counselees on a day like we did here, you know, we start at 1:30 and we go all the way till 7:45. And 7:45 is our last one, and then... So we can be distracted by thinking about what we just said in our last counseling case or what they shared with us. Maybe they dropped a bomb and we're like, oh, you know, that kind of deal. So we have to be careful that we're not too distracted. Have we given our counselees ample time to express their feelings and concerns? And sometimes we have time constraints. Here at Faith, you get about an hour and 15 minutes for each counseling case. And usually when you end your hour or, you know, you end part of it. You want to talk to your trainees and help them. So the time constraints are there. And they may not have been able to share everything that they wanted to share. And if that's the case, consider asking them to write out what you haven't had time to discuss. And she may find that writing things out might be a little bit more helpful than saying things out loud. She may be a little bit embarrassed to say some of the things that she might write. And it would be helpful if you had that information before the next session. So whether you want to give out your email address or you just want it to go to the counseling center and they can forward it to you, that works too. And once you read it over, then you can decide, are there more questions, are there clarifying questions that you want to ask about some of the things she wrote? So we want to give them enough time. Are we connecting well with our counselees? Our counselees desire to be heard and cared for, and it's easy to think we've heard this sort of story before. And then we mentally start formulating what we want to say. But, right? Don't we do that sometimes? But put yourself in her shoes. You'd appreciate someone really listening to what's going on in your heart. Or you may think what they've come in to talk to you about is like, really? It doesn't seem like a very big deal to me. You know, considering that the last person you talked to is, you know, talking about cutting or suicide or something, you know, something really major. But you know what? It's important to her. And so we need to make sure that we understand that that is important to her. So it may seem small to us, but she's reaching out for help. You know, and as you've listened, have you shown compassion? While it may be true that the counseling may be experiencing the fruit of her choices, she's still a hurting person. She's still somebody that needs compassion. We would really like our counselees to leave the room thinking, this person really listens and understands what I'm going through. She showed me compassion and love, and I feel cared for by my counselor. So often, when counselees believe they have been heard and taken seriously, they're more eager to change. They're more willing to learn. And then the opposite may be true as well. When the counselee doesn't feel like they've been heard and they're not taken seriously, they may be resistant to change or they won't come back. So when we fail to show compassion, our counselees may mentally check out, may not return. And you have to remember, Jesus showed us compassion. He was not repulsed by our sin. Okay, letter E, do you have all the necessary information from the counselee? There will be times when counselees don't disclose everything on their intake form. They probably think, they're not going to even want to talk to me. The presentation problem is not always the root issue, and they may be testing the waters to see if they're safe with us. It's amazing to me, this is a side note, this is amazing to me how people from the community come in and they don't know you. They're much more willing to share things with you than they would somebody at their church because they feel like they're probably going to be judged. So it's amazing what they'll tell us sometimes. But there's sometimes they won't tell us things too. They may be embarrassed. Do you need to ask more questions? Or do you need to ask questions in a different way? When I was being mentored by Amy Baker, Amy would tell me that I'm not going deep enough with my questions. She goes, Bev, you're going here, and I want you to go here. So, and asking questions was really hard for me. I don't know why, but it was. It was just really hard. So I had to really practice that. Some of my questions were kind of superficial, but I needed to go deeper. And there's a difference between extensive questions, you know, like a shotgun, right? Isn't a shotgun where it goes far and wide like that? Yeah. And intensive questions were more like a rifle, you know, we ought to get some specifics. So we're trying to get to the heart, and we don't want to give counsel just to make superficial changes. And don't be afraid to continue asking why. You know, she says, this is really hard. Well, why is that hard? And then you may need to ask another why question after that. Well, what makes that difficult? You know, just on and on, okay? We want to make sure that we have adequately gathered data and thoroughly understand the situation before we give counsel, okay? And it's a really good thing to ask sometimes, is there anything else you want to tell me? Or is there anything else you haven't told me? Invariably, like the last 10 minutes, and then it all kind of spills out, you know? Okay, so F, are you assuming things that you shouldn't? There are many times when a counselee will answer a question and we assume we understand what they mean. Or we think that what the counselee is describing is just like another counselee that you've had,